Hi, this is Steve Nerlich.
Why cheap astronomy?
Yeah, why?
And this is Dear Cheap Astronomy, episode 117, The Dark Side. Yep, once again, it's time to delve into the black unknowns of cosmology. Dark stuff. Questions continue about what could the dark matter be, as well as that enigma wrapped in a mystery and packed into a black box, dark energy. And so, to begin. Dear Cheap Astronomy, what's the latest on dark matter? Well, there's not much new to report. The nature and composition of dark matter remains unknown, but the likelihood that the universe is full of invisible, non-interacting, but gravity-inducing material remains high. The compelling evidence for dark matter's existence includes the structure and dynamics of galaxies, large-scale gravitational lensing, and the cosmic-scale distribution of visible matter, where it appears to clump into a vast web of filaments composed of galactic clusters and superclusters, and also interstellar medium, which is just lots of loose dust and gas. On the bright side, there is a growing view that we've now solved the missing baryon problem, which involved a mismatch between the amount of baryonic matter observed from the Big Bang and subsequent nucleosynthesis of hydrogen into helium, as well as traces of beryllium and lithium. Baryonic matter is essentially anything that's built up from protons and neutrons. So that includes stars, planets, and even black holes, although the majority of baryonic matter is just hydrogen ions, that is, single protons, and also molecular hydrogen, H2, which is two protons stuck together, and there's also some deuterium, which is a proton and a neutron stuck together. Anyhow, according to our current understanding of Big Bang physics, there should be about 50% more baryonic matter than we've been able to observe. However, recent measurements of the density of the interstellar medium is leading us towards thinking there's a lot more interstellar medium than we were initially assuming, and so the whole missing baryon problem may just be a whim. That is, warm-hot interstellar medium. Small cosmology joke there. But anyway, all that's just an aside to indicate we are still finding missing stuff out there. And so it's way too early to give up on dark matter. It's generally agreed that dark matter is non-baryonic, so not composed of protons or neutrons, and whatever dark matter particles are, they're invisible and transparent at apparently all electromagnetic wavelengths, which also means they neither absorb or radiate heat. And they are weakly interactive, so they don't readily bounce off or otherwise deflect things, all of which makes them darn difficult to detect. Of course, all that could be seen as a bit of a circular argument. We can't find this stuff anywhere, therefore it must have extraordinary properties that make it undetectable. But it remains the case that something must be exerting the substantial gravitational effects that we see, unless our understanding of gravity itself is way off. There have been suggestions that the various galactic and cosmic scale gravitational effects we are seeing are happening not because of dark matter, but because gravity works differently on very large scales. While that might be possible, there's no other evidence to suggest that gravity doesn't work the same way everywhere and on all scales. Indeed, it would be a major upset to modern physics and cosmology if it turned out that both Newton's and Einstein's universal theories of gravity weren't actually universal. And particles that are almost undetectable do exist. Neutrinos almost fit the dark matter frame, being invisible, transparent, and weakly interactive, but they lack enough collective mass to account for the gravitational effects we've described. Also, they seem to zip around, some at close to the speed of light, while dark matter seems to mostly just sit there in clumps. One of the latest hypothetical particle candidates that could be dark matter are axions. There's no current observational evidence of their existence, but they do fit a gap within the prevailing standard model of particle physics. A number of experiments are underway to verify the existence of axions, and once we've identified them in a lab or a particle collider, it should then be a lot easier to identify them out in the cosmos, all assuming they do actually exist. History shows that sometimes we do find hypothetical particles, the Higgs boson for example, but also sometimes we don't. For now, all we can really do is keep hypothesizing and keep looking.
This is the middle bit.
So yes, we are continuing to stumble around in the dark where it looks like there's something there, even though that something is both invisible and transparent to all wavelengths. All we can really do is to hypothesize some options and then steadily rule some out and rule others in through ongoing observation and measurement. But how about dark energy? Surely we've made some headway there. Well, dear cheap astronomy, are black holes the source of dark energy? To give you the full story, someone sent a link to the article that claims that black holes are the source of dark energy, along with their actual question, which was, "This is just bollocks, isn't it?" And yes, it would seem so. Firstly, to properly unravel the story, we should start by acknowledging that cheap astronomy thinks the whole dark energy concept is a bit but let's leave all that to one side. It is perfectly reasonable to say that dark energy is a cosmological placeholder where the universe clearly is undergoing accelerating expansion and we have no idea why, so why not give the unknown cause of it a label which we'll just call dark energy until we work out what it really is. Anyhow, the recent claim that black holes might be the source of dark energy is based on the concept of cosmological coupling. A good and valid example of cosmological coupling is the clear loss of energy over time in cosmic microwave background photons and the expansion of the universe over time. Such a correlation does make sense. As the universe is expanding, the wavelengths of photons do get stretched out, and longer wavelengths means less energy. In the black hole dark energy paper, the authors have presented data from distant supermassive black holes, which they suggest shows an unaccountable increase in their mass over time. You might think that's enough of a headline grabber on its own, without the dark energy stuff added on, although you might also wonder why no one has ever noticed anything like that before. But anyway, that is the essential premise of the paper. There's been an unaccountable increase in the mass of supermassive black holes over time, and we know the universe has been expanding over time, so therefore, it's cosmological coupling. And they did find a statistically significant correlation between the black hole's growth and the universe's growth within some constrained parameters. So sure, there is a strong case for cosmological coupling. It's just based on the extraordinary claim that black holes are growing in mass for reasons other than just mundane accretion or merging, but let's keep running with this for now. The authors then appeal to the Friedman equations, which are derivations of Einstein's general relativity field equations, aiming to demonstrate a relationship between the universe's expansion and the energy mass contents of the universe. The Friedman equations do show that the energy mass contents of the universe seems to drive the expansion of the universe up to a point. However, once the universe gets big, then the expansion rate should start slowing down since its contents has been diluted. But since it didn't slow down, we've started thinking there must be some additional mass energy content being added on, something we're currently calling dark energy, and which we can calculate must be about 68% of the current universe's contents, based on this particular interpretation of the Friedmann equations. So what the authors of this recent paper are really saying is don't worry about dark energy to explain the additional contents. We've already found it in these growing black holes. So they're really saying their growing black holes are a substitute for dark energy, rather than being the source of it. Indeed, the implication of their cosmological coupling proposal is that everything in the universe with mass is having its mass increase over time. It's just that the effect is a lot more obvious in hugely concentrated, ginormous chunks of mass, like black holes, and particularly supermassive black holes. The proposed mechanism of the mass increase is that the supermassive black holes have been consuming vacuum energy, which apparently also solves the problem of black holes having a singularity at their centre. So there are quite a few hypothetical angles being packaged up here. Of course, the idea that all the mass in the universe is growing over time is what you'd call an extraordinary claim, and the evidence presented for this claim in this one paper doesn't seem immediately compelling. But okay, if it really was true that all the mass in the universe was growing over time, then sure, you've got yourself a possible explanation of the universe's accelerating expansion. However, if it isn't true that all the mass in the universe is increasing over time, then you've pretty much got diddly squat.
This is the end bit.
So, there you go. It's the nature of science journalism to grab whatever hypothesis looks interesting and then run a headline saying scientists believe that blah blah blah, whereas in reality, scientists are mostly just following scientific method, where in the face of an unknown phenomenon, they start hoisting ideas up a flagpole and then see which ideas they can shoot down, so that whatever's left becomes a new flagpole to hoist yet more ideas up. But that's it for another episode of Dear Cheap Astronomy. If you've got a space science question, or you just want to hoist an idea up a flagpole, why not write to cheapastro@gmail.com and we'll try to blow some air into it. Thanks for listening. Steve Nerlich, Cheap Astronomy.